of this wonderful opportunity for us to be alive today and to be in your presence. We want to thank you because it is not of our own to be able to add a day to our lives. It is purely your doing, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Father, as we go into your word this morning, we ask that we have a deeper understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit in a way that will transform our lives in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit, the revealer, will reveal your word to us and cause us to be connected to heaven like we have never been before. In Jesus' name, have your way here this morning. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing the series on God, the Holy Spirit, His personhood. We started talking about His work and Titus last week. We told us that, like us, or like the Holy Spirit, God expects us to have duties or to be of service to Him, just like the Holy Spirit has His duties, what He does in the lives and in the midst of believers or children of God. We said the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning and that He was part of creation. We said all the plans that God made and bring to performance or fruition were made in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. We talked about the work of salvation, redemption, transformation, and glorification. We said the Holy Spirit was part and parcel of the plan. So God expects that the Holy Spirit will be part and parcel of our plans. When we want to decide, when we want to do things, we must carry the Holy Spirit along. We said it's the Holy Spirit that can impart love, and it's the Holy Spirit that should constrain us to live a life righteous and acceptable unto God. So the reason you would do what you want to do is because you have the love of Christ in you, as witnessed to you by the Holy Spirit. We say the Holy Spirit inspires hope, and that without hope, our faith will be in tatters. We say the Holy Spirit gives liberty, and the liberty is not the way the world knows it. The liberty that the Holy Spirit gives is not the liberty that makes you do just anything. Whatever appeals to your mind, your heart, you just do it. It's a kind of liberty that brings you to the kingdom of God, so that you will be subject to the rules and the authority of God. He gives liberty from sin. In fact, He gives liberty from the world and its lusts. We spoke about money extensively. Now, we want to talk about how we view the work and position of the Holy Spirit in the Church of God. In fact, he is the only divine administrator in the church. And this is one of the things that is missing in the church today. Because individuals have taken advantage of other people. We have come to a point where we no longer allow the Holy Spirit to rule in the church. What do I mean by that? The way the church ought to be is that as the pastor, I hear from the Holy Spirit. When I hear from the Holy Spirit, I pass it on to the church. The church does what the Holy Spirit has told me. These days, or you have somebody put in a position of leadership in a department in the church, they are supposed to hear from the Holy Spirit too. And on the basis of what the Holy Spirit has spoken to them, because they pray and they listen to God, they are able to direct people in their teams. Today we have expunged the Holy Spirit from the church. If what the pastor is saying or what the leader is saying is not in agreement with how you feel, you don't listen to them. Because we are not ruled by the Holy Spirit. We don't allow ourselves to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. We are ruled by our own minds. That is why when the man of God tells us something, if somebody tells you that something that is outside the Bible, I don't ask you to follow that. Don't follow if what he's saying is unbiblical. In fact, in some churches, people vote. It's by voting. In fact, they vote to appoint pastors. They vote to expunge somebody from the church. They vote to, yes, I know. I'm sure you know one or two churches where people vote. There is no room for the Holy Spirit there. Even in this church, we have gone through periods that some people will have wanted us to subject things to voting. I put my foot down and I said, no. We run a church of God. We don't run according to man. If you have difficulties in being obedient to authority, if you have problems with humility, you go somewhere else. If you have a problem in believing that the Holy Spirit can instruct leaders and you follow what the leader has asked you to do, then it's better to go somewhere else. Because the Holy Spirit is the divine administrator. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible talks about different spirits. Talks about different gifts. That there are different gifts in the church. Am I right? But who is the administrator of all these gifts? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a one self same spirit. Distribute to every man as he likes. He's the one who gives, he's the one who gives gifts to different people in the church. So he's the administrator of the church. And if we don't allow him to administer the church, we are in trouble. If he cannot speak to the pastor and we follow and we believe him, if he cannot speak to the leader in a group and we follow and we believe him or her, then we are not children of God. We say, let's subject it to voting. Let's say this. It has to be my interest. It has to be this. It has to be my way. That's not the way the Holy Spirit administers. He says, look, let's look at this. Let me show you a few places there. We can read a few places. Let's quickly look at the administration. He said, let's look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Praise God. So this Holy Spirit administers, give different gifts to people. You don't have to be someone else to be effective. You can be you, as God has given you Spirit, and be effective. Now let's go again to verse 27. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In other words, those of us, the different people in the church, don't necessarily need to have the same gift. We don't have to play the same role, and yet we will be what? Effective. That is what the Spirit of God has given you, including help. Look at it. It's a ministry. People who help, it's a ministry. You know, some people, God has just given them that gift to be, you know, apart from the normal help that all of us can do, they go beyond the call of duty. They can give anything. They can sacrifice themselves. They can sacrifice their time, you know. And God is saying there are people that are given to that gift. If you are given that gift, you know, to be a help in the church, and you say you want to become the pastor, you are going to fail massively. You are going to what? Fail massively. And let me tell you something. It is not all promotions that are good. Do you hear that? Not all promotions that are good. In fact, not all promotions are profitable to you. I'll give you an example. I can give you a few examples. I want to believe that if Eli was not promoted, he probably might not have been destroyed. It was because of the position he occupied that his children did what they did, and they became cursed. And they were destroyed in one day. You remember the story? Can we remember any other examples? There's one that every one of us should remember. Who else was promoted and because of his promotion was destroyed? Samson, in a way, yes. In a way. You know, he was promoted, but his promotion, you know, he didn't appreciate it. He worshipped the power rather than God. But there's one person that his promotion is directly related to his fall. You want me to say? Saul the king. Am I right? Saul was king. He wasn't the prophet of Israel, was he? No. But because of his promotion, when Samuel told him, go and wait for me, I'm coming, what did he do? He took log into his hand and he sacrificed. The whole of his lineage was wiped out. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to let us know, you know, where we belong. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So not all promotion. So if you just say, oh Lord, promote me, I want this. Not all promotions are good. Because if you get there, if you are not made for that place, and you miss it, you see, just as God will bless people for serving him, sometimes God gets angry with people when they don't do what they are supposed to do. You will not fail in Jesus' name. Of course, he's the divine administrator. I mean, of course, we can look at different areas in the Bible. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. He showed this in the early church. In fact, he directs people. You remember that, you know, when the apostles were praying and fasting, what did the Bible say? The Holy Spirit spoke. What did he say? He said, "Separate for me Paul and Barnabas." I'm sure there were people who are probably more qualified than those people. Do you agree with me? That there were. Do you remember? At the time he said, "Separate for me Paul and Barnabas," you had people like Stephen, Philip, and all these great, wonderful deacons who did miracles. They were there. But God did not say, "Separate for me Philip and Stephen." No. He said, "Separate for me Paul and Barnabas." So, the Holy Spirit of God would divinely appoint people. We must listen. And I've learned to listen to him. I remember I was sharing with people in the management committee. I say I've appointed friends before in the church because they know the Bible and they are my friends. And in fact, when we come to pray, they come. When we do this, we do. And then I'll say, "Oh, give them function, give them role in the church." At the end of the day, it was disaster. So if the Holy Spirit has not spoken to you expressly and you do it, you'll be in trouble. So we need him. It's very important. He's the divine administrator, particularly in the things of the church. Do you also know that the Holy Spirit is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives people position? Praise the Lord. Aha. He gives people position. Sometimes for his own reasons. God puts people in places for his own reasons. You may not know. Let's quickly look at Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. And we'll move on from there. Our time is going. Matthew 18, 20. I can talk about this from now to tomorrow. Matthew 18, 20. Let me share another testimony. I remember also somebody came to me. One of the people I sort of trusted. And he said, "Oh, look, let's get a representative of the youth in the management committee." And so I called this guy. He was a member of the management committee. Because this guy was very friendly with him. We later discovered that this guy was living with his fiancée at that time. And he was in the management committee of the church. And as soon as the person who appointed him left, he too left. Because he knew. I didn't know before that time. But as soon as I knew, he knew that I would not allow that to stand. It would not happen. You know, as long as I have breath in me, praise the Lord. You know, so we need to be very careful. We need to, even while we try to balance things, while we try to, you know, while we try to listen, we must listen to the Holy Spirit more than anyone else. It's very important in our lives. Matthew 18, verse 20, it says what? "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So the Holy Spirit is here also. He's in the church this morning. And we must listen to him. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Let's quickly look at some of the titles of the Holy Spirit. Of course, as we've said before, we like titles. And some of the titles we like, include being called professor, engineer, bishop, prophet, mother in Israel. And you know, and brother, and so on. Do you know that some people in the church, if you don't call them by title, If you call everyone brother and you don't call them brother, you are in trouble. If you call everyone sister and you don't call them sister, you are in trouble. You know, if you don't call them pastor, they are in trouble. You are in trouble. If you don't call them prophet or apostle, you know, I remember when I finished school cert, my result was one of those that didn't come out immediately. I mean, yeah, they released. I did 8 subjects. I had they released 7. They withheld my chemistry. And so one day I was going between from Umara to Ilorin. So I was going to check. I was standing by the roadside. I stopped a taxi cab and I saw only one person in the cab who had apparently chartered the cab. And as soon as I saw the man, immediately I knew him because I've seen him on the TV. You know, many of us who know this man, he was in the Senate. He was first in the House of Assembly in Kwara State, and then he went into the Senate. He was the one representing our area, Obasanjo. So when I saw him in the car, young man just finished secondary school, Obasanjo. I said, "Good morning, sir. I know you, Mr. Obasanjo." He said, "No." He didn't even smile to me. He said, "No, honorable, please." I will never forget. He said, "No, honorable, please." I said, "Honorable." People love titles, you know. But if the title is devoid of the Holy Spirit, it's emptiness. And as I've told members of the church, I said, not all promotions are good. If you are promoted without the Holy Spirit in it, it can lead to your destruction. I gave the example, for those of us who are not here, I gave the example of King Saul. The only reason he failed, I'm telling you, if he was an ordinary man, nobody would have known him. He probably would have made the kingdom of God. But because he was king and he failed in his duty, that was the cause of his problem. You will not fall in Jesus' name. So let's look at the title of the Holy Spirit. It's called God's Good Spirit in Nehemiah 9:20, the Spirit of good, Psalm 143 verse 10. Is also called the Spirit of God. Is also called the Spirit of Christ. Is called the Spirit of the Lord, Acts 8:10. The Spirit of truth is also called the Spirit of your Father. Praise the Lord, as if God is your Father. He is called Eternal Spirit. Is also called the Comforter. The Spirit strengthens in a variety of ways, consoling when cast down, giving grace. We've talked about how the Spirit comforts. Okay. And some of the titles that have been given to the Holy Spirit, they are actually titles that some of these titles we can share with them by way of the role we will play, by way of the role we are called to play. And we should model our lives, if indeed He reigns and He rules in us, we should model our lives as a pattern to follow His. We should desire this kind of titles to know that, you know, we are helpers. We are people who comfort people who are in difficulties. We are people who tell the truth. We are people, you know, because this Holy Spirit is the one in us. We should manifest these characters rather than worldly titles. Worldly titles. Honorable place. And a lot of honorable people are stealing people's money. They are most dishonorable. A lot of so-called honorable people, you know, I was reading a very pathetic story in the name of honorable. I don't know if you read that story. I can't remember which state now. One of the eastern states, the son of one of the ministers in the government, when his father became the minister, they threw a party for the dad. A lot of people came, and among those who came was a young woman who was very beautiful. So he approached the lady, and the lady said, "Look, See my hand. I'm married. Don't bother. But the son of a very dishonorable man chose to bother. He kept her in his mind and promised her contract. And by the time he was going to meet this woman again, this lady was 6 months pregnant. To her husband, of course. But all entreaties to tell him, look, I'm married, I'm pregnant, would not even stop him. And after he did what he did, you know what happened? They took him to the village council when he should be in jail. That is what people do. People who are godless. We will not be like that in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit becomes the administrator of our lives as children of God. You know? So it's not just about the titles. It's about what He is able to do in our lives. And I believe that after learning of the Holy Spirit, we'll become subject, we'll be ruled by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Do we have any questions? Is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit? Because they, you see, it's quite interesting. We don't ask questions in this church. We don't ask questions. Because there are issues that require us asking questions. Am I right? Even on the Holy Spirit, it's not uncommon in a church, maybe because, okay, in a church, to have three brothers going to a sister that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them that she's the one they are to marry. Am I right? It's also not uncommon to have five sisters go to a brother in the same church and they say the Holy Spirit has spoken to them that that's the brother for them. Can it be the Holy Spirit in operation in all the five? God is not the author of confusion. There are questions we should be asking. There are questions we should be asking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And then you start having some kind of fear and you cannot be able to speak. And so if I speak, I don't know what they will say. So I just want to ask the question, even though that I know there is consequence there, the effect is so great, if the Holy Spirit give you an instruction and you refuse to, I mean, to pass it out, and then Holy Spirit will still speak through another person. But you that he has given the Holy Spirit, the instruction in the first instant and you refuse to say it, then you will lose your reward at the end. The consequence might still be just like what we had at the night vigil. So what I just want to say is that I want to ask is that if at such a situation and you are given an instruction by the Holy Spirit and you refuse to say it, I don't know. What effect can it have in your spiritual life as a person, as an individual in the church? And also, in the church generally, that what effect can it have on you if you are given an instruction by the Holy Spirit and you are asked to speak and you are afraid of man?
Praise the Lord. I think when we started talking about the Holy Spirit, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit we talked about is that he can be what? He can be grieved. What does it mean to be grieved? He gets angry. So when he's grieved, what does he do? He leaves. He can pass judgment. He can also leave. He leaves, actually. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, he leaves. So what happens? So if God has always spoken to you, and you don't say what the Holy Spirit has told you to say, what do you think will happen? After some time, what is it like? I as a person, for example, or you as an individual, If you keep telling somebody same thing, you keep talking to them about this, oh, please do this, oh, please, can will you do this, can you do that, and they ignore you, will you speak to them again? When he's grieved, he keeps quiet. He will stop talking to you. He will let you, like you said, he will go and send someone else. He will stop talking to you. Okay? Because when I speak to somebody constantly, I say this, after some time I keep quiet. I will have given you that opportunity. I will have spoken to you many times to the point of what the Yorubas call diyeye. I will do it. Consciously, I will do it. Because I have no pride or reputation, I put it aside. I will keep saying it. After some time, I just keep quiet and do my own thing. The Holy Spirit does exactly like that. The Holy Spirit will stop talking to you about it, and you think everything is okay. The same thing for a church. The Holy Spirit lives. Go and read Revelation. It said, you say you are poor, you are rich. You say you have abundance, yet you are what? You are poor. Everything is okay. Everything is fine. In fact, you may even have the church full of people. You may even have the church what? Full of people. In fact, such a church has the opportunity of being fuller than our church. Yet, the Holy Spirit is not there. Let me give you an example. I shared with those of us at the night vigil. Did you go to read that story? The one I asked you to go and read on Tara Reporters? Okay. There is a church in London that was started by a Nigerian. I don't know if many of us read this story just 1 or 2 days ago. I think it's still there. I was actually told that those who are at the forefront of starting this church, people knew them. They were happening girls, you know, who were at the forefront, who really promoted that church, and a lot of people, they finished from a particular university, I'm not going to say, you know, a lot of people went into the church. The church became very big in London. And only 2 days ago, the pastor is also a doctor. But he's not been practicing. And I know a guy who was a year ahead of me who used to assist him. He started his own church too, also in London. And just a few days ago, it came out that he was taken to court and he confessed that he was sleeping with one of the 15-year-old boys, not the girls, not even a girl in the church. This guy is married. I mean, the pastor, the senior pastor is married, highly respected, he's a medical doctor and so on. But now the church is so big. I'm talking about hot news of the press. Go and look at it. Do you think that it just started that day? Huh? No. Do you think people were not coming to church? In fact, the church is very big. People who know the church, go and read it. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm sure he's been doing it for a long time. And yet, people will come and they pray. And they told me that the church, somebody told me that the church is anything goes. Everybody can come, all comers. You just come. There's nothing like, if you don't have personal discipline, how can you tell someone else not to do something? It's not possible. So all comers, the whole place is full until this happened. And remember, I've said to us, if the foundation is not right, you build on it. When you are building, everything will be okay. Will be okay. Wait until you build 20 stories. And the Bible says, great was the fall. Great was the fall. And great can be the fall of such situations. So that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So that is what happens. The Holy Spirit leaves and leave you to your own devices. And you think you... And some people say, oh, I have peace. I now have peace. Because the Holy Spirit was the one telling them before, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. When you don't listen and he leaves, and then you say, oh, you see, I now have peace. They say, brother, why did you do this? He said, but when I did it, I have peace. It's because the Holy Spirit has left you. That's true. They say, oh, it's because I have peace. The Holy Spirit no longer speaks to you, and you say you have peace. I'm sure we had it. A lot of Christians use that yardstick. They say, you see, why did you do this? The Bible says this, but you see, I know God is in it because I have peace. God is not in it. You are just being disobedient, and the Holy Spirit has packed his baggage and has left you. Any other question? Because it's from asking questions that, you know, we get more. Okay. Can we pray? Let's rise on our feet, please. I want you to speak to the Lord. You say, whatever may happen in this life, do not let your spirit leave me. Whatever, in whatever situation, Lord, Father, do not let your spirit leave me. Do not let your spirit leave me. Do not let your spirit ever leave me, Lord. I need the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let your spirit leave me, Lord. Let your spirit uphold me. Let your spirit strengthen me. Let your spirit continue to speak to me, Lord. Whatever happens, Lord, don't ever let your spirit leave me. Uphold me, Lord. I need you. I need your presence. I cannot go it all alone. Be with me. Be with me. Spirit of the living God, empower me. Embolden me. Strengthen me, Lord. I need the Holy Spirit. Be my companion. Be my teacher. Be my instructor. Be my strengthener. Be my wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence here.